Welcome first to the IT for All podcast. Thanks for being here this week.
Thanks, Ryan. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you. Very interesting topics we have to discuss today. I'm looking forward to it. But before we get into it, it'd be great if you could give a quick introduction about yourself and the company that you're with.
My name is Fritz Werder. I'm the senior product line director of the Life business at Silicon Labs. And what that means is essentially my team is focused on a few different vertical market segments for the Internet of Things. So we're involved in connected health with portable medical devices. We also are looking at the smart appliances market, the wearable space, and then entertainment. And so we've got back office functions at Silicon Labs that develop chip designs, develop software for chips. But my team is really goes deep on the application side and the use case side in these different vertical markets. And Silicon Labs is a fabulous semiconductor company that's focused on the Internet of Things. So we're a leader at the heart of the IoT. We have a very broad portfolio and deep expertise around wireless connectivity. And again, with a laser focus around the Internet of Things. So we've got kind of two main divisions to our company, home and life, which I'm the life part of the home and life. And then we have also industrial and commercial that look at things like retail, smart cities, and industrial applications for the IoT.
Take us through what it would, if you're working with a potential customer on bringing an application kind of, or them adopting an application, how do you work with them? Kind of what does that relationship look like?
It does vary by company, but usually what we do is we start with understanding their requirements for a particular application. So, for example, what embedded environment are they using? So we would want to understand questions like, are they developing on bare metal? Or do they have a preference around a particular operating system like FreeRTOS or Zephyr or something? So we'd understand kind of their overall environment. We would want to understand from a wireless connectivity standpoint, how is the device going to be used? You know, is it a wireless device? Is it a wired device? Sensors? Is it a medical device and has different security requirements? So really digging into all of those different elements of what the need is. And then typically we would present solutions that we have available today. So with Silicon Labs, we've evolved from our Series 1 devices to Series 2, which is what we're offering today. And most of those Series 2 products are 40 nanometer wireless connectivity solutions across Wi-Fi and Bluetooth and 15.4 solutions and proprietary, et cetera. So we would present current solutions, and then depending on the device maker's timeline for that specific application, we may get into future roadmap devices that are 3, 4, 5 years out. And that's we're working right now on our Series 3, which is more security, more power, more scalability. Those products are going to be on 22 nanometer platforms. And so we would start talking about roadmaps for future generations. And so then we would, provide also enablement support to them. So we also work with many of the large ecosystem providers. So if this is a product, for example, that is part of the Matter ecosystem for smart home, we would present to them a developer journey where they, as a device maker, they can learn about the technology. We can point them to some of our disruptor partners like Amazon and Apple and Google and Samsung SmartThings and educate, help give them information that they need to really vet out that journey and step-by-step activity, how to certify with those ecosystems, how to certify with the Connectivity Standards Alliance. And so we would help provide those different enablement education pieces along the way. And then we also, through our developer experience environment or IDE tools like Simplicity Studio, we give them the vehicles to be able to do test projects, to acquire development kits and so forth, to be able to try out those different solutions before they launch into a full-fledged development activity.
I imagine with talk about the evolution of your offering, the Series 3, it sounds like with an emphasis on security, that plays is a very important, vital role when it comes to kind of connected health. Anything to do with patients, data, anything like that, along those lines, security seems to be almost more important than almost any other type of use case that's out there. Can you talk to us a little bit about kind of how the connected health space has kind of evolved when it comes to IoT and what it's been like to kind of tackle the challenges that have come along with connected devices and solutions into that space?
Yeah, you're spot on, Ryan, in terms of the security element. I mean, Silicon Labs, we had already kind of seen that wave coming of the importance of security just for the broader Internet of Things. And so we had, you know, taken steps to build out our Secure Vault offering and so forth. But as we started to really enter the portable medical space and the medical applications even more broadly, that just got highlighted or just got elevated to a whole nother level of importance. And so definitely, you know, FDA involvement and the length of time and the complexity of getting devices, medical devices approved, all of that has really increased the importance of security for medical device companies. And so definitely that's one of the big drivers. We provide services like our custom part manufacturing services, or what we call CPMS. And many of our medical device companies are taking advantage of that to be able to lock down, you know, encryption keys and lock down parts of their application, so that regardless of where they're manufacturing that device, they've got consistency and can really, you know, be confident about the security that they're providing in terms of their own applications, but ultimately with their cloud partners and so forth, or interoperability with phones and et cetera. So that's security is one of the three big trends we're seeing in connected health. The other two are really around miniaturization. So a lot of medical devices that are focused, particularly in the wearable space, use diabetes management as an example. We're seeing a lot of activity around continuous glucose monitoring devices or patches. Size is really important there because you want it to be comfortable to an end consumer, and you know, whether it's clothes or sleeping or whatever, that the size is really crucial. And so our chip scale packages or CSP devices for Bluetooth have really been popular in that area because of the size. And then the third one is really around battery performance and power performance. And so we see device makers in the medical space really caring about those three things, like battery performance so they can get longevity and provide the best experience around power. Two is size and form factor. And then three is security. Those are like the big three that we see continuously over and over again with connected health companies.
When I talk to other people, some of the hiccups they've run into with hospitals is the infrastructure needed for this inside of a hospital, given the structure of it, the types of material the walls are made out of, all the type of stuff influences the connectivity and success of their deployments, as well as just historically, I guess, the buy-in from hospital management teams, those making the decisions to bring these solutions in. How have you seen that change and evolve over time as the technologies have gotten better, as more solutions have been deployed and successes have been seen? Have you started to see more healthcare organizations really kind of gravitate towards what these solutions can actually provide and bring to the hospital, their office, their, you know, whatever environment is looking to be deployed in?
My team historically has not been the ones focused on the clinical settings as much. We do have another business that has been more involved in the clinical side, but just some comments in general. I would say that the breadth of portfolio that Silicon Labs offers, from proprietary connectivity to Bluetooth to Wi-Fi, we're able to provide for those clinical settings solutions that maybe have multiple protocols involved, so that if it's a bandwidth issue, if it's you were talking about just the infrastructure of not being able to penetrate, you know, walls or whatever, that we've seen that evolve to be able to, you know, multiple bands of Wi-Fi, having, you know, Wi-Fi plus BLE in devices, having Wi-Fi plus BLE plus, you know, some other coexistence with proprietary or 15.4 solution. So there's a variety of ways that we have tackled that in the medical space and in clinical environments, but we've definitely seen a movement towards more connected in those settings, and they're unlocking value for, you know, for doctors and for patients, whether it's tracking of assets, tracking of patients, being able to provide, staff provide, more visibility, of where devices are located, how those devices are being used in the hospital settings, bed controls and motor controls. I mean, there's so many different applications that are being unlocked in the clinical setting. But again, my business has been much more focused on outside of the hospital and outside those clinical settings where we've seen portable and wearables become much more important. You know, as COVID hit us, that it changed the healthcare dynamic quite a bit. And there's a lot of those portable devices that are in play now.
Yeah. What's it been like from an adoption standpoint and just, I guess, usability standpoint? How have people kind of become, I guess, better with these types of devices to monitor things? I know they've seen on your site, everything from being able to monitor symptoms and I guess things that can drive epilepsy. You've done things with the connected to sensor to monitor saliva. That was really neat. Things along those lines, how are the individuals, the patients, the people that are using these, how are they finding this fitting into their daily life? How are they finding kind of connected health really become a thing that is supporting whatever they are, looking to monitor and or work?
I think consumers are seeing the use of devices that they're accustomed to, like the interoperability with phones as an example with diabetes management, where they can wear a patch and then see the actual status, of, in that case, diabetes, and be able to real time, not having to be in a clinical setting, understand the status of that, tied in between patches and insulin pumps and so forth, to really solve problems for them. So just the excitement from consumers about how IoT and just connectivity in general is bringing new value to them. You hit on like that saliva example. We're seeing, medicine delivery. We're being able to monitor when did an elderly spouse or someone you're providing healthcare for, being able to know if they took their medicine, at the right time, providing reminders. It's really providing a lot of value to end consumers. And I think that's what we're seeing. We're seeing the adoption grow. We're seeing new use cases, different types of wearables, medicine delivery. So it's an exciting time for what it's providing to the users. And these big device makers are not only doing it in the United States and in North America, but they're finding new markets all over the world. And so we're seeing a lot of expansion in Europe. We're seeing expansion in APAC, for example, with medical is a big deal for us and for the industry overall. So
what have been the biggest enablers over the last few years to get Connect Health where it is now? Is there one element of, or a number of elements of, kind of what it takes to bring one of these solutions to market, or just the technologies in general that have matured to a point where a lot of these use cases that were not available or possible before are now possible? What are the big kind of enablers there?
There's a few of them. I mean, certainly the proliferation of mobile phones and as an app, also with wearable devices, watches have brought in, whether it's sleep health, whether it's different sensors and different functionality that a watch would provide in conjunction with a phone. So mobile devices has been a big accelerant of connected health. Certainly on the connectivity side for us, the battery performance that we're delivering and power performance that we're delivering with Bluetooth, in particular for medical devices, has been a big part of that. Being able to extend the life of a single coin cell battery in a patch or something is providing more longevity for a disposable health device. That's been a crucial enabler for the industry. Cloud has been another enabler, being able to have user data, device data secure in the cloud, being able to render that and access it, whether it's in the clinical setting or the end user through an user interface like phones. So software and operating systems and so forth has been another big enabler. So So it's a combination of all of those things kind of coming together of improvements in connectivity, improvements in form factor, improvements in mobile use cases and mobile devices around user interface, and then software and cloud, all of those.
So I wanted to ask you, because I know you went to Embedded World recently. What were the big takeaways from that? We actually, I spoke to somebody the other day about other events that have recently gone on. We haven't attended too many events ourselves, but Embedded World has been one that has come up in many discussions kind of just internally. And I'm just curious, as it relates to connected health, what are you seeing happen kind of in the market right now? And where are things really headed? Like, what excites you the most, and what things people should understand and what's kind of coming out of an event like?
First of all, it was my first time attending Embedded World. As a company, we've been there for many years, but it was the show was very exciting. I mean, from everybody that I talked to that had been there for many years, it was the best Embedded World that they had ever been to. So there was a lot of enthusiasm. Attendance was great. I did meet with several medical customers that were there in addition to appliance makers and others, but some of the common themes, I would say we launched a product there, our XG26. So it could be either a BG26 or an MG26, which is our next high performance family of SoCs. And so we were highlighting the benefits of that, and it provides, you know, future proofing for new devices that some of the medical companies would be looking to launch. So double storage and memory and a lot more GPIO capacity for peripherals. And so there was a lot of excitement around that at kind of the high end of trying to unlock new value by having better performance. So not only price and battery performance and so forth on the lower end. So there was a lot of discussion around how to have lower price points, more aggressive functionality for parts of the market. And then through the launch of this new device, there was a lot of interest in kind of upper end, higher level features. We did a demonstration on AI and ML, and I would say that that's an interesting area for medical. There's definitely interest there by medical device companies. They are, unlike the appliances area, which are diving much more into it around things like predictive maintenance, you know, motor vibration, those sorts of use cases. On the medical side, because you're wanting to be really sure in terms of what you're predicting, like you don't want to lead a end consumer down a path of assumptions at all. And while AI and ML is delivering a lot of value, they're stepping into it very, very cautiously, but they do have some good ideas on how machine learning in particular can unlock value on the medical side. So there was a lot of conversation there. Again, I would say there's companies that are looking at their overall embedded system development environments. So there was a lot of conversation around things like Zephyr from the Linux Foundation and how that's evolving as an operating system, and certain companies interested in that versus FreeRTOS versus Bare Metal. So there was a lot of discussion there. And then definitely power performance. We had some companies that traditionally use Bluetooth devices that were talking to us about Wi-Fi, where they're looking for some new applications for Wi-Fi plus Bluetooth, simply because we're delivering really, really ultra low power solutions on the Wi-Fi side. So that's opening doors for them to think differently about connectivity. But those are some of the areas: higher functionality, higher GPIO with new devices we are launching, interest in machine learning, interest around embedded environments with RTOS solutions, and then really looking at size and battery performance as we talked about those big trends.
Very exciting space to kind of just follow and monitor. There's so much more things can be done. So much more help can be provided to people. Insights can be provided. And the AI ML side is really interesting too, because I was going to ask you about that. It's just how is Connected Health kind of seeing AI and ML to play a role? But it's a very valid point that they have to be very cautious of what insights not only they provide, but also what path they kind of lead people down without 100% sure of kind of what they're saying or you know, what's kind of coming out of that. So that'll be an interesting kind of thing to follow along, I think, just see how that matures and how they're able to prove that out. But as it progresses to the rest of 2024 and into next year, what are you most excited about? Kind of what do you expect really to happen in this space? Because I imagine it seems to be rapidly growing. It seems to be the use cases just continue to pop up. What are you most looking forward to, and where should our audience be really focusing their time kind of following along with what's happening?
Certainly, again, the diabetes space, we're seeing continued progression on international markets. So that's really exciting for our business. We're seeing, you know, both large dominant players in those spaces getting into new markets and expanding their positions in new markets around the world. We're seeing new players in some of those markets, like in APAC, launching new devices and having a focus on improving the experience for their company. So I would say international expansion is one area. We're also seeing the experiences for the users continue to get better. And so an example of that are joint partnerships and FDA approvals around insulin pumps working with specific patches and seeing more approvals around that. We saw in the industry the first over-the-counter continuous glucose monitoring solution approved this year. So I think more access even without prescriptions, that's another exciting area. And then probably the one you hit on is seeing new use cases. I mean, whether it's artificial limbs, whether it's medicine delivery, just so many new opportunities. I mean, we've had some of the traditional ones like pulse oximeters and digital thermometers and weight scales and, all of those different applications, and those are great. And we're still excited about unlocking more value and improving those use cases and solutions. But I think it's some of this new innovation around helping improve people's lives. That's what really gets us excited. So it's certainly an exciting time at Silicon Labs, and it's an exciting time to be part of the Internet of Things overall and connected health.
Totally agree with you. I mean, we've been connected with you all for many years. Love what you have going on. During the end of our year, we get a lot of products sent to us. We do like a gift guide, and a lot of them are connected health related products. We've kind of seen the evolution of products in the form factor, in their capabilities, in, like you said, the user experience to make them usable over the last 3 or 4 years. And it's leaps and bounds every year of what's coming out. And I think that's only going to progress, like you said. So it was a very exciting space. I think the more help people can find it in these devices, as long as they're accurate and they're doing what they're supposed to do, I think the better it is for everybody. So it's a very exciting space to kind of follow along. So I'm looking forward to kind of seeing how things progress throughout the rest of the year for sure.
Yeah. I'm also a side role is I'm the alternate board member for Silicon Labs with the Connectivity Standards Alliance. And while that's, focused on Matter and Zigbee and smart home, to a large extent, I mean, there's interest there as well within that group around how health and connected health devices, can be part of those ecosystems and platforms and standards as well. So, we're not only seeing the importance of interoperability and smart home with things like smart appliances, but on the connected health side, I think we're seeing broader interest from device makers on not only how can I deliver my own devices into the market, but how do those devices in a aging in place solution, as an example, work well with other devices, whether they're cooking appliances or something that you would know if an elderly person left the stove on, but how all of that can tie together for the complete ecosystem.
Yeah, it's going to be a really interesting problem to solve, because smart home, for instance, right? That's kind of one of the places I think a lot of people can relate and understand about the challenges that have always existed with the interoperability of buying a device from one company versus another. But you want it all to be easily accessible for you as the homeowner. Like, I have many different smart products, from doorbells to cameras to vacuum cleaners, that are all connected, but they all use their own app. And there is on the iPhone, there's a home app that I can use, but they don't all work seamlessly with them. The best experience, again, is oftentimes in the native app from that company, but it does create a lot more to manage. So how can they not only improve that while at the same time improving how those things potentially read off each other and provide value is very translatable to the connect health space. This is how do those health related items potentially connect with the non-health related items that you may have and be using on a daily basis on your person, in your home, and so forth. And I think it's a very fascinating kind of thing to monitor, because it just really exciting future that if we can get there, but it's going to take some time. For our audience who wants to learn more about what y'all have going on at Silicon Labs and just stay in touch, follow up on this conversation, reach out in any way, what's the best way they can do that?
We have a lot of really good content on scilabs.com. So if you're interested in, you know, Bluetooth devices and different use case applications and so forth for connected health, you can go to scilabs.com and download product sheets. You can order development kits online. You can see different developer journeys from scilabs or scilabs.com. Certainly, you know, feel free to reach out to any member of the Silicon Labs team and we'll provide support. We have a great set of community resources on our website as well. So SILABS.com and be able to get lots of information there or reach out to any one of us, you know, via LinkedIn or via our email addresses, and we'll get you pointed in the right direction.
Friends, thank you so much for taking the time. It's always a pleasure to have you and anyone from Silicon Labs on the podcast. Excited to kind of follow along and see how things are going, not just with what you have going on, but also in the health space. So I really appreciate you coming on and talking about many of your experiences, what you have, what's happening over at Silicon Labs, as well as what happened and what you kind of sound from the embedded world. Very exciting, and can't wait to kind of stay in touch.
Thank you very much, Ryan, and thanks to IoT for All. Really appreciate the opportunity and appreciate talking again with you guys. So thanks.